Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my precious brothers and sisters. Good afternoon and welcome, welcome, welcome. A hearty welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with the one and only Sister AJ. Well, our sister's already in studio and we are set to go. We have a fantastic broadcast in store for you today. This is part number 17 in this series where Sister AJ has been breaking down Hollywood and Jesus. It's a great series. But before we bring her on and get started with our show, let me just make a few quick announcements. Well, Sister Marie was back from vacation yesterday, and we did an awesome show on the Great Global Reset. My precious brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Everything is moving towards the Great Global Reset. What does that mean? Well, look, you got to listen to the broadcast. We were in studio yesterday. We had great audio. We had great commentary. It's a fantastic series. It will open your eyes. It will show you what the powers that be are trying to do with America, and not just America, but with the church, the family institution. Now listen, the enemy is trying to transform America and turn it into communist state, a godless state, the Great Reset. You got to listen to the show, and I tell you, I've been enjoying myself with these two series. Our sisters have really, really, really outdone themselves. And I tell you, I look forward to every week just sitting here in studio, listening to what our sisters are presenting and just pushing the buttons and playing the audio and then pausing every now and then to comment. Great series on the Great Reset. You got to, if you didn't listen to it yesterday, you got to catch up. All right. If you're in need of prayer, you know what to do. Send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. Also, don't forget that we are praying for Sister Elena, who recently, well, it's going to be 4 weeks now. It's going towards 4 weeks that she had surgery. Well, before the surgery, the doctors told her she would have a six to eight week recovery. Well, she's almost at the halfway point, and we're praying that the Lord will strengthen her body and bring her to a physical condition that is much, much better than before her operation. So don't forget to pray for Sister Elena. And finally, you know, even though the world around us is collapsing, even though the world around us is going, as they say, to hell in a handbasket, the Lord still needs ministers. The Lord still needs servants who will be light in the midst of darkness and salt in the earth. If you want to serve the Lord Jesus and his people at a local church or in your local community, there's a Bible school just for you. It's called the International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies. That Bible Institute has free registration, free tuition, and we don't sell you textbooks. You get a nice little outline every week. You get a two-hour teaching, a two-hour lecture. We only meet once a week for 2 hours. An outline is emailed to you so that you can follow us as we're doing the teaching. And I got to tell you, it is a fantastic school. What's beautiful about it is no registration fee, no tuition fee, no textbook fees, absolutely none. You come online, you listen to the class, and I guarantee you, you're going to be blessed. It's easy to sign up for. All you have to do is email us at IIBMS. Now, IIBMS stands for International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies. So you email us at IIBMS2020@gmail.com. Again, IIBMS2020@gmail.com. Once you email and say, I'd like to join the Bible school, that automatically registers you. Then there's a young man by the name of Miguel Rivera. And what Brother Miguel will do is he will email you all of the pertinent information. He's going to send you some emails. When he sends you the emails, there's going to be an attachment. That attachment will be the outline. When you open up the attachment, you click on the blue link in the outline, and you go right to school. It's easy, easy peasy. So sign up today. Well, brothers and sisters, what we've been waiting for, this wonderful broadcast, since it last ended, last Wednesday, since this broadcast, because we only come on once a week, when it last ended on Wednesday, I couldn't wait for next Wednesday. So here we are. Let me bring on Sister AJ. Sister AJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. How are you?
All right, all right. We got sunny weather here. It's been sunny and cool, which is a wonderful combination, because I don't want sunny and muggy. I don't want to, you know, I want sunshine, but I want it to be breezy. It's nice and breezy, which is what I like.
Okay.
And in the mornings, I've had to wear sweaters and my knit cap, because it's been 52 degrees here in the morning.
It's
been
wow.
chilly. Yeah, but I love this kind of weather, and I'm shocked because this is August. August is supposed to be steamy and sweaty and sticky,
mm-hmm.
and no such thing. So I'm looking forward to this show, like I said, and this is no exaggeration. We ended the show last Wednesday at 4 o'clock, and I was saying, boy, I can't wait to get into sink my teeth into this again. This has been a great
right.
series, and this guy, Dallas Jenkins, boy, what a distorter of truth.
Mm-hmm.
So set this up for us.
Well, as you said, we've been looking at a new internet series called The Chosen, which is written and produced and directed by Dallas Jenkins, who's the son of Jerry B. Jenkins, who wrote the Left Behind series along with Tim LaHaye. And so this is his idea of Jesus, telling the story of the Lord Jesus from the perspective of people who Jesus knew and impacted, the apostles and some of his followers. So that's
right.
what we're looking at, and we want to see, just like with the one with Joel Osteen, whether or not this is which Jesus is being displayed here. Is it the Jesus of the world, or the Jesus as shown to us in Scripture, and how well does this portrayal line up? Now, actually, we went through season one, episode one, and we're about to finish up with episode two, and we haven't actually seen much of Jesus. But the portrayal of what Dallas refers to as his main characters, that would be Simon and Andrew, Matthew, Mary Magdalene, and Nicodemus. Those are the main people that we've been following and getting to know the quote-unquote backstory on these people, because what Dallas likes to do is to try to tell the backstory of someone, like your testimony, basically, of what was going on in your life and how you came to know Jesus. So that's what he's trying to do. And like you said, he's spinning a yarn. I would say about nine, he admits it. A lot of this is extra biblical, and I would say probably about 98% of it is extra biblical and just made up, if I had to give it a number. What say you, brother, about it so far?
Yeah, the people he claims that knew Jesus didn't know Jesus, because I don't know of a Peter and an Andrew. Like the one he's showing us. I don't know,
right.
A Matthew, a Nicodemus, a Mary Magdalene. This is out of thin air. He's creating these, these characters. Now, like you said, we'll probably give him 98%. 1% would be that he got the names right. He got Matthew right and Peter right and Nicodemus. He got the
uh-huh.
names right.
Right.
And we'll give him 1%. For showing Jesus, every now and then, but the 98% of it is just nonsense, pure, adulterated nonsense. And
mm-hmm.
now what makes him so dangerous is that he is far more entertaining than Joel Osteen. I got to give the guy credit. He's, he's a fantastic storyteller. The problem is the story is not a biblical one.
Right. He takes a lot of license with this series, and it's something I think is a dangerous thing to do when you're talking about the gospel of Jesus and showing him to the world and who he is and what he does, what significance he has, what did he do for us, why did he come here as a man. And it's easy to misrepresent him when you take too many liberties with the story.
That's correct. Absolutely. And now, like I said, he's a fantastic storyteller. And the first catchy mm-hmm. thing that grabs your attention is the cartoon in the beginning with the music about these mm-hmm. fishes flying. These fishes are swimming in one direction. And then you start noticing that whenever a particular fish, which they're all gray, by the way, if mm-hmm. one of them turns around in the cartoon and swims in another direction, it turns into an aqua color fish,
mm-hmm.
aqua green, right? So, so it's
right.
very from the beginning. It's very, you know, very intriguing, and
right.
the,
it
you
is.
Know the way he spins the stories. He's a good storyteller. The problem is, the whole story's a lie. It's a
right.
flat out lie. So, you know,
exactly.
That's pretty much how Satan deceived Eve. You know, Satan told the yarn. Satan told the story. And then
right.
Eve fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
He sure
right?
did. Yes. Yep, and he's
so,
doing that. He has no new tricks. He may have different ways of with technology and all that stuff, but the game is the game. And he's doing
it.
The same thing. Misrepresenting God.
That's it. The other thing that I notice is that these false gospel tellers, because that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Osteen is a false gospel teller. You know, this guy Dallas, he's a false. And what I notice is both like to elevate Mary Magdalene.
Yes,
right?
They do.
Notice how prominent she is. She was mm-hmm. she was very prominent in Joel Osteen's series, and very much at the tail end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then where they're pushing that feminist agenda,
right?
But here, in episodes 1 and 2, she's up there with Matthew, Nicodemus, Peter, and Andrew
mm-hmm.
as far as screen time, right?
Right.
We haven't heard of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We haven't heard of her. Not yet.
No. No, not yet. Because
right.
this story, it has to be made clear that this Dallas's story did not start out with his birth or anything about Mary and Joseph. The way these stories typically start, he didn't start there. And when we have glimpses of Jesus, he's a grown man already.
Right.
I guess he's kind of sort of starting his earthly ministry, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference with this one as well.
The other thing that really perturbs me more so about Dallas Jenkins is that here's a guy who is working with the Mormons. Now that's an outright heretical group. Outright. There's no denial of that. I mean, if he picked up a copy of Kingdom of the Cults, Walter Martin's book, The Kingdom, and that's just one
They'd be one of the first ones in there.
Correct. Absolutely. And so here's a guy, you know, that's like Elliot Ness teaming up with Al Capone to,
right.
you know, to promote law and order, right? I mean.
Right. Yes, and he even said in that interview we looked at is that the Mormons love the same Jesus as we do. No, they don't.
Right.
Their Jesus isn't even close other than just the name. Another
right.
case of identity theft. They stealing the Lord's name and aspects of his identity and life for nefarious purposes.
Exactly. So, yeah, I would say that in the pulpit, Joel Osteen is more dangerous because I don't know if Dallas Jenkins is a pulpiteer. He might be now. You know, he might be. It's like when you did the series on, what's that short guy, that singer, Franklin. What's his name?
Kurt Franklin.
He's a singer, but you showed some video of him preaching at a church, right?
Right.
So So we know Joel is more dangerous in the pulpit, but this guy is far more dangerous in his filmmaking than Joel is.
Right.
Far more dangerous.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So last week we left off, and we were getting close to the end of episode 2, and that one is named the Shabbat, wherever it's showing everybody celebrating the Shabbat and different things that they're doing.
Right.
It depicted Simon as in making a deal with the Romans to turn in some other fishermen who are fishing illegally on the Shabbat so they can afford to pay taxes. And it's getting to a place now where he's going to have to pony up with this information or else. And then they're going to show Nicodemus and Mary talking because she was demon-possessed. He tried to exorcise her and failed, and then he caught up with her after he found out she was delivered and is trying to find out how. So that conversation is actually where we left off at.
Right.
And that was at the 1 hour, 35 minute mark.
Okay, so I'll start it there, and I'll stop it, like you say, if there's, you know, if I feel you want to comment on something or I feel I need to, I'll stop, pause it, and we'll talk.
Okay, all right.
Oh, my God, I'm sure of that. I'm going to try. Shabbat shalom, Nicodemus.
Shabbat shalom. Mary.
Good morning.
Good first seeing you then. The bread is wonderful.
I know. How's fishing?
It's fine.
Really?
You're surprised?
Why would I be surprised?
I don't know. Dummy.
You haven't taken a catch to market for days.
And yet you have flour, vegetables. Did you sleep in a warm bed last night?
In fits.
Why are you baiting me?
I don't understand what's happening.
Nothing is
happening. You don't sell to market. Your hours are upside down. And your face is frozen in worry. Don't tell me nothing is happening.
We're in a challenging season right now. I just need to work hard to get through it, and I'll get caught up tonight, and I'll be right on
tonight?
The way.
Tonight? What do you mean?
I'm not happy about this either. I need to work tonight.
You need to work on Shabbat.
It's a special circumstance. I can't get into it right now. Andrew will be here for dinner as normal, and I'll just be gone for a few hours.
Oh, well, would you like me to fix your Shabbat plate to take with you?
Listen, love, I know this
Don't
is no
listen, idea. Love me. I'm not a child.
I just need you to trust me on this. Please? I've got this, Eden.
You answer to God, not me. But next time, you answer to the both of us. Because whatever this is, I don't have to think for twice.
Now, as you said, this guy, Peter, here, is a Benedict Arnold. He's a snitch, a turncoat, an informant. Where did this man get this idea of Peter? Explain to me.
I can't find anything. I've looked in Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and I can't find any indication that Peter was like this. It like you pointed out, he and Andrew were actually more likely followers of John the Baptist. So I can't even imagine the way John the Baptist preached repentance that he would be doing this, because he did this, is supposed to do this in exchange for having he and Andrew's tax debt forgiven. That's why he's doing this. And I don't recognize this Simon at all.
Yeah. You know, John the Baptist, as we learn in Matthew chapter 3, is preaching. He's preaching. And the Bible says they're coming to him from all Jerusalem and Judea and all around about the region. And then the Sadducees and the Pharisees come to his baptism, and he says, "Oh, you generation of vipers." Right? I mean, this guy is just blasting these religious hypocrites, calling them for what they are, you know, offspring of the devil, you serpents, you vipers. Now, if you're a follower of John the Baptist, if you're look, you can tell who's going to follow Joyce Myers. You can tell who's going to follow Marilyn Hickey. You know who's going to be following Kenneth Copeland. You know who's going to be following Paula White. And you also know who's going to be following John the Baptist.
Right.
I mean, it's if you're a disciple of John the Baptist, you are not a snitch. You are not an informant. You're not a double agent. You're not a turncoat of Benedict Arnold. You're not ratting out your
gambler.
Own people. Not a gambler.
Not a gambler and a fighting for money and all
right.
the things we've been seeing Peter do in this series so far.
And if you are a Sabbath breaker, I mean, that's a death penalty.
I was going to ask. It's a severe penalty for that. They're not going to just overlook that.
Right.
And I wanted to say something about the wife and his interaction, because we heard Dallas say that he got the idea of this marriage from just his own marriage and stuff. So this is more modern, because I can't imagine a first century Jewish woman talking like this to her husband. And she says that, "You answer to God, but next time you'll answer to both of us, and I can't do this," or something like this. But I'm like, well, what does she mean? Because the law didn't allow for women to divorce the man or leave the man or throw him out, did they?
No, it did not. The man in society, the man always had the upper hand. A woman couldn't even make a vow without her husband's permission. What do you mean you made a religious vow? You didn't consult me? That vow is invalid. And no priest would recognize a vow of a woman who was not authorized by her husband.
Or if she was not married
exactly.
or something like that.
Right. Absolutely. And this is like you taking, you know, take any neighborhood, go to Chicago or go to New York City, or, you know, and give me a modern interaction between a husband. In fact, come to Dodgeville, New York. Come to my house. This is a modern give and take between a wife and a husband, right?
Yes.
This is not first century.
Right.
This is not first century. It's just not. You know, in fact, I'll even go one better. Back in the 1960s, right, you know, when Jackie Gleason was saying to his wife Alice, this is my kingdom, my castle, I'm the king, you're nothing but a lowly peasant. Back in the 60s, that's the way it was.
Right.
Right? But not today. Oh, no, not today.
Right. Peter would have come home from wherever he was that night, and the doors would have been locked, and his stuff would have been out in the yard.
Sure.
Today.
And as soon as he came in, there would be a whole lot of screaming. They would say, "Keep it low, the neighbors. I don't care what the name. I don't care." You know, and that would have been it.
That's right.
Right. So no, this is again. This is like 21st century. These are 21st century people acting out with 21st century values and customs, but they're dressed first century. They're
right.
dressed, the, right? That's it.
The scenery and everything is first century, but these are more contemporary values and mores and social norms that you're seeing here.
Right. And here's another thing. How can the man of the house not be at the table for the Sabbath? No.
It just can't happen. Because
right.
Andrew technically wouldn't be the man of the house because that's Peter's house, is his wife, and,
right.
you know, he's an invited yeah. guest, but he's not the man of the house.
Right. And you can't, listen, you can't do Sabbath without the man in the of the house being present. It's null and void. This is crazy.
Okay, since you said that, keep it in mind because we're going to watch, you know, Mary's preparing for a Shabbat dinner. So I want to see what you think about this, about how what she does.
All right. Okay, so now in the background, now coming to the fore is Matthew, the sissified disciple. Because this guy He's one of the alphabet, the sense of the alphabet
about Matthew that I read about in scripture.
Right. He's an alphabet person in this episode or in this miniseries. Okay.
Right.
If there's any left when I come back, I'll give it to you.
I see Matthew, he's a peeping Tom. He's looking into some house where there's two women.
I think that is parent, that might be his family, because remember he's an outcast and he was telling a centurion that his bodyguard that his father disowned him because he's a tax collector. So I'm assuming that he
right.
want to go share Shabbat dinner with his family, but he's not. He's looking in there because he's torn about whether he's going to go in or not. So that's how he's depicting Matthew in here, that he was just this lonely outcast.
Okay. All right. All right.
Solid gold from the side of gold. I hope you will enjoy eating on this beautiful place. What's on your mind, love?
How's my Nan? you know the significance?
Tell me.
200 years ago, we were ruled by the Greek king Antiochus IV. He suppressed our religious observances. It wasn't until the Maccabees revolted and ushered in the Hasmonean dynasty that our worship was restored.
You are as smart as you are handsome.
Who is responsible for suppressing our worship now? I fear I know the answer.
It is a beautiful tapestry. Should the artist have made it less so? To what purpose? Sadness? A conquered people?
You are wise as you are beautiful.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Rabbi.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Oh, honored Rabbi. We are humbled and honored by your presence in Capernaum. You make us whole.
Only God can do that.
Shall we join the others?
Thank you.
Try to get the seat near the head of the table.
A woman of valor who can find.
So in this scene, I see that Nicodemus is pensive. He's got some regrets. He's already viewing his fellow Pharisees as hypocrites. He's
right.
Developing a distaste for them, you know. And
he's already shook up with the scene with the demon and Mary Magdalene, and then he found out that she was delivered, but by somebody else. That was the conversation that she had, that it was with him telling them about this other person, but she didn't know his name at the time. She didn't know it was Jesus, but she just know that that was who delivered her. So he's shook up about that too.
Right, right, right. And that has him questioning, you know, his sect, right? I'm with these Pharisees.
Yes,
I'm a rabbi of this religious group, you know, this religious sect of Judaism. But in essence, we're bankrupt. We have no power. We only know God in the head. We don't have a heart relationship with God. And and we can't help anybody. And the people I'm surrounded with are just, you know, social climbers and hypocrites.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, here's the next scene.
You came.
Oh, thank you, Miss Maddie. This is a fine place.
Oh, thank you. Are we on? Is it still on?
Yes, Julia. How did you find us?
I followed that mule, Barnaby. Not that he waited. Looking as handsome as ever, Barnaby.
Lucky guess, Julia.
Is this the place?
Miss Maddie's here.
Do I know you?
Oh, sorry, I'm James, this is Thaddeus. We were told this would be a good place to come. We can leave if it's awkward.
Oh, no, please come in. You're most welcome here.
Well, can we help?
Oh, no. Well, yes, I don't know what I'm doing.
Pretty food, that's a victory.
If I'm not doing something or doing something wrong, you tell me.
Oh, nonsense. It's already great.
I can't remember the last time I was invited to Shabbat dinner.
Me, never.
You never been to Shabbat?
Of course I've been to one. Been to lots. Just never got invited.
Who's the extra seat for?
Oh, for Elijah. Am I right? I remember my mother always setting an extra place for Elijah.
That's only for Passover. Just once a year, I'd say that.
When Taylor comes, I'll have a head start on setting up. Take a look at my little notes.
Can I read it for you, Mary?
Stop it, Barnaby. I read better than you. My father taught me.
Very impressive.
Is the first star out?
Yes, let's eat. Like I said, you are very popular.
Or it's a Pharisee here to shut us down for letting you be here.
Hello, Mary.
Hello.
It's good to see you.
Yes.
I don't want to be rude, but would it be okay if I...
Oh, yes, of course. Please come in. I just never thought you'd done. I have Jeff here. This is my first time. I don't know what I'm doing.
Rabbi.
You already know these men?
They are students of mine. I trust they have been polite.
Of course. Your guest can take the seat. Yes, Mary? Oh, of course. Yes, of course. Please have a seat. I keep saying of course a lot. Francis is the man I told you about who helped me.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Mary told us so much about you.
Oh, I hope not too much.
I'm Barnaby. This is Shula. She is blind.
Ah.
In case you couldn't tell.
I'm so sorry. I don't actually know your name.
I'm Jesus of Nazareth.
Huh. Well, apparently something good can come from Nazareth.
Mary, I'm honored to be here. Why don't you begin?
Oh, no, I couldn't now that you're here. You must.
Thank you, but this is your home, and I would love for you to do it.
Okay. I'll just...
All right, your comments thus far?
Okay, from the scene, this is Mary doing her Shabbat dinner and her guests are arriving. Two of the guests are actually a couple of disciples of Jesus. And then the knock on the door later on was actually Jesus showing up. So now we're seeing him again. And he shows up to Mary's Shabbat dinner. Unbeknownst to her, she was not expecting him to show up. And she begins to do a Shabbat prayer. That's what she's getting ready to read. But getting back to what you said earlier, even though Mary doesn't have a husband, so how would a woman in her situation perform the Shabbat dinner? And then my second part to that question is, now that the Lord is on the scene, would he have deferred to her? Because, you know, Jesus followed the law, and, you know, so he didn't just disregard it. So what do you think about all that?
Yeah, again, you know, this is like a contemporary situation today where, let's say if I go to my sister's house or my niece's house for Thanksgiving or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. it's her Thanksgiving. It's not my Thanksgiving. It's not my wife's Thanksgiving. You know, we're visiting.
Right.
However, Thanksgiving is not a religious ceremony, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to put it in the context of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, that were first and foremost a religious people.
Right.
So, again, this is like out of, you know, this is like, you know, putting Shabbat in a American context. And mm-hmm. this is, you know, there's not even a religious overtone in this thing, right? I mean, there's no, and we know that for them, everything was what? God.
Right.
Everything was the order, you know, God, man, woman.
There was a certain way things had to be done, and even honoring the Shabbat, they had procedures, I guess you could say.
Right. There's a format. There's a protocol, if you will. And so, again, this is like me going over to a girlfriend's, you know, someone I grew up with. And I've known this person for 30 years or mm-hmm. someone I just met, but we're being invited over for dinner, and it's her house, and, you know, she says grace or, you know, whatever. You know, she leads
right.
in the conversation or she leads in the entertainment aspect. This is not my house. It's her house. So,
mm-hmm.
But it's taking it out of a religious setting, which is what all of this is, and making
right.
it, you know, contemporary, and it doesn't line up. It just doesn't.
Right. I don't think Jesus would defer, you know, since we know that he fulfilled the law. You know, he would just disregard how things are supposed to be done, since after all, he is God, and this is his law, right?
Right, and also when Barnabas said, you know, finally something comes good out of Nazareth, and then Jesus looks at him and winks, like,
right,
you know, you know, all these
and
little
things. And by
things
the way,
that,
Nathaniel said that when somebody was telling them about Jesus, and they told him where he was from, and say, does anything good come out of Nazareth? So that comment was made by somebody else in a completely different setting.
Right. So
that's me nitpicking
again.
By the way, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, again, this is like you know, going to somebody's Super Bowl party. You know, one of those things. Yeah.
Right.
This is just, you know, a night out. You're over at somebody's house. You're polite. This is, you know, it's their house, so they're going to cut the turkey the way they want to or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically how I'm viewing this. And, okay, they have, you know, they have the little yarmulkes and they have the candles and they're, okay, so you know it's something religious. By the
right.
very name of the Shabbat, you know it's a religious ceremony, but it's like a watered down version.
Yes.
You know, it's just very watered down. You just think they're meeting, you know, they're meeting for dinner. It's,
right.
You know,
and I know, and we know that Dallas had a Jewish man as a consultant to help him get some of this stuff right. But what I'm believing is happened. Yes, that guy was a consultant, but it might be that Dallas didn't listen to him with everything. There might have been some clashing and maybe we'll do certain things that you say, but we're not, you know, we're still going to keep to the story that Dallas wants to tell.
Yeah, but even, you know, even the consultant, I believe, is a liberal Jew, you know, because
mm-hmm.
an Orthodox Jew is not going to be collaborating with a Roman Catholic and an evangelical. They're just not going to do that. This is a liberal
no.
Jew. So, you know.
Well, he's supposedly a messianic Jew, but I'm not even sure what that means these days.
Yeah. Look, when you're a consultant and you're getting paid or, you know, you're getting some name, because, you know, people get paid in different ways. So maybe
mm-hmm.
Dallas Jenkins isn't paying him with cash, but the fact that he can say, I consulted on this series, that gives
right.
people, you know,
but,
a feather in their cap.
Well, it's on his webpage.
Okay.
looked.
Okay. So you see, so he's using it for something, you know,
yeah.
to further his personal agenda. So, you know, You're a yes man. That's what you are, a yes man. That's it. You know? That's like if you as a speaker attend a conference and there's a you know, a Kenneth Copeland type, and you're preaching, you know, the day after or the day before, you're basically rubber stamping the circus there. So that's it. Mm-hmm. This is awful. This, like you said, this is just a sad portrayal. Here's Jesus sitting at the table and winking. Wink.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't, you know, that's, and here's Jesus, a single man, attending
right.
the house of a single woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
married men, even married men wouldn't be in the company of a single woman, especially not without other women being around, so, or her
right.
father or something.
Yeah, and there's a woman there, but she's blind. Right, there's a woman there, and she's blind. So, no, this is, Mary, what's this guy doing knocking on your door? What's he doing?
Right.
This, you know, and when we read about Jesus going to different places, for the most part, he was accompanied by his disciples. This one episode, the woman at the well, you know, but we already know that from the context, I mean, socially they're not supposed to be mixed. Jews and Samaritans didn't mix, but also that man and that woman issue.
Right.
Right.
Even the women that were around Jesus, it was usually several of them, and they would be in their own little group, and they would all attend to and serve Jesus and the other guys if they were having food and stuff like that. But they weren't mixed in the way that these shows typically show it. It wasn't like that.
Right, right. Yeah, so this whole thing is, you know, 21st century. This is how he sees it, you know. This is how he views it from the lens of the period and of the time in which he lives in. Look, it's like it's like the Greeks, right? When you look at the Greeks and their idols, they look Greek. The idols look Greek, and then you go down to Africa. And Ethiopia, Mizraim, Kush, and you look at their gods, and they look like Africans.
Exactly.
You know, you go to Scandinavia, you go where the Vikings live.
You go to China, and Mongolia, they're that's how their idols look.
Right, because Buddha doesn't look Puerto Rican. There are some Puerto Ricans that have a belly like that, but, you know, Buddha's face, that's not a Puerto Rican face. You know, that's a Chinese face. So, you see, this guy, Dallas Jenkins, he's making his gospel based on his worldview, his 21st century world cultural view and experience.
And that's why Chris Rosebrough called this Jesus Jenkins Jesus, because it's a Jesus made after Dallas Jenkins' image.
Correct. And if young Opie over there in Mayberry was writing a story about Jesus, you know, maybe Jesus would look like Gooba. Or Goma.
Andy Griffith.
Goma or Barney. He looked like Barney.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. That's
Maybe Peter would be Otis, the town drunk.
That's it. So, again, this is a, but this is what's going to lure people in. This is what draws people in.
But
because
think about it. This is the real depiction of these characters.
Right. Think about the pastor who shows up on Super Bowl Sunday and he's got a jersey on, right? And the whole platform has goal posts and footballs and the pastor's real hip, and oh man, we just have a great pastor. He's just hip, man. That's what people like. People like going to places like that.
Yeah.
They like it when the pastor can relate, right? And this is why Paula White, whenever she went to T.D. Jakes' church, she started talking black, right?
Yes,
she's not black.
Did.
But she's using, African-American lingo, right? Ebonics. She's using Ebonics. And,
right.
She's trying to relate to the
black folks.
Right. Hillary Clinton tried doing that. She went to a couple of churches and, what?
It was horrible.
It's insulting.
Paula White did a better job than Hillary.
Right. It's insulting. Can you imagine watching let's say Nero or any historical figure, and then putting them in a 21st century context, it just wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
Try putting Spartacus.
Like, what are those plays, Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell, some of those?
Right. Yeah,
weird plays. That's what this reminds me of.
Right. Garbage. Complete garbage. Jesus a hippie?
Right.
No.
Right.
It's garbage. This is complete garbage. You mean to tell me that Jesus and Charles Manson are almost the same? It's garbage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, all right, we have a few minutes left.
From this now. Now the heavens and the earth were completed and all their hosts. And God completed on the seventh day his work that he did.
And God
abstained on the seventh day from all the work he did. And God blessed the seventh day, and he hallowed it. For thereon he abstained from all the work that God created to do.
Blessed are you,
Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
You have lovingly and willingly given us
your Shabbat as an inheritance in memory of creation. Because this is the first day of our holy assemblies in memory of the Exodus from Egypt. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the bread from the earth. Amen.
Now, while she's reading the prayer or reciting the prayer, they give you shots of Peter's household with Andrew and his wife, but you don't hear anything that they're saying. Then they show you a clip of Matthew having Shabbat with the dog, which again, an unclean animal.
Right?
Can you imagine having Shabbat?
Would a Jewish man adopt this stray dog? Because you're gonna see this dog quite a bit here. It's as if he's Matthew, that's his only friend. The dog just kind of showed up, and it's like his pet now. But the Jews didn't really have pet dogs, did they? Back at that time, they would
unclean animal.
You didn't really associate with.
Right. So you have that scene, but Matthew is silent. Then they take you to Nicodemus. He's basically silent. So the only one speaking, the only one who has a prominent speaking role in all of these, you know, scenes that go from house to house to house that's filled with men is Mary Magdalene. And
that's
even
right.
Jesus, who's in her house, is tight-lipped.
It's silent.
Mm-hmm. This is crazy.
Yes, it is.
It's not reflective. It's not reflective of first century culture. It's not. And if you go to Brooklyn, New York, you know, if you go to 10th Avenue and 56th Street or 57th Street where Maimonides Hospital is, you don't see this with men and women. You don't see this.
No. No, even to this day, there's a procedure in how they do these Shabbat dinners. I mean, I kind of glanced over some stuff on the internet, and the prayer, some of the prayers and the wording is stuff they do even to this day, but it's usually the man of the house.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, again, you know, they're giving Mary Magdalene a prominent role.
Very prominent.
Right? Where all the men are basically mm-hmm. silent. I mean, I heard, you know, Nicodemus muttering his lips and, you know, but no, she was...
Hers was louder.
Right. Her, you know, so again, this is, it's off, way off. But, okay, a few more minutes here, just one or two more minutes left. Okay, so Peter's by the water, and here comes a Roman soldier. That's where they shift now.
Right.
Like you said, now he's
right.
got to pay up. He's got to pay the piper. He's got to give some information. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so now think about this. If you are an informant, mm-hmm. right? If you let's just say if I've infiltrated the mob and I'm an informant for the FBI, the FBI doesn't see me out in the open.
No.
Right? And here's this Roman soldier coming to where Peter is. Peter's scoping out the landscape. He's scoping out the beach to, you know, so he can give a report. And here comes this Roman soldier with a battalion. I mean, that's a dead
right.
giveaway that you're a snitch.
Exactly. And once his Jewish brethren found that, he'd be dead.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. That's it. That's it for that episode. The music came on.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
This
and
guy.
Dallas isn't really talking about anything at the end, so we don't really need to see that go. We'll just move on. But so that's episodes 1 and 2.
Okay. So we'll
and,
move on to... Go ahead.
The next audio is actually last week we were talking, and I was telling you that Dallas doesn't consider Jesus a main character in this story of his. So I wanted everyone to hear him say that. So that's what this next audio is, and plus it makes a good segue into episode 3 because what's gonna spark this whole part of the conversation, and it's the same interview we looked at before, but we didn't look at this part of it. So
okay.
That's audio number 2.
Okay.
And I'll tell
and
where to move it.
Yeah.
It's started at 27:31 and stop it at 32:20.
Okay, so 27:31. Now, this is him talking
mm-hmm.
to that Mormon again, right?
to the Mormon guy, yes.
Right.
And
okay.
Stop,
and stop
it at 3220.
Okay. Here it is.
Fair enough. You did a lot of things noticeably, well, maybe not noticeably, but you did a lot of things on purpose in the show. And I had a couple of questions about them. For instance, one of them, you spend an entire episode about the relationship between Christ and children and the local children around him. Why was that so important to you to dedicate an entire episode to just that aspect of Christ's character?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's ironically enough, we have 8 episodes in season 1. All 8, well, 7 of the 8 were written by 3 of us. My co-writers, Ryan and Tyler, and I really work as a unit. Episode 3 is the one episode that I wrote by myself. So that's why it's a good question, because I can speak to it specifically. I really wanted to introduce Jesus in this show in a way that we wouldn't have to spend too much time in other episodes getting to know him, because he's not the main character of the show.
Mm.
So that makes...
Wow. Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
And if you think back to the booklet that I showed you that we took a little peek inside, even in that book, he has a section saying introducing the mains, which is the main characters of the program, and Jesus
mm-hmm.
is not in there. It's Mary Magdalene, it's Nicodemus, Peter, Andrew, and Matthew. That's it.
Right. It's pretty much like when you go to church at Joel Osteen's, he's not giving you Jesus, but what Joel Osteen is giving you is a heavy dose of the gospel of self, you know,
right.
or his son, you know, here you are and God is taking pictures of you, right?
He's your biggest cheerleader.
Right. He's your biggest fan. Right? Mm-hmm. And God is saying to the angels, look at this picture and look at this other picture. He's mine. That's
Ooh,
what this...
yeah, look at my baby. Look at my boo-boo.
Right. And this is what this sounds like. This is about these other people and forget Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Amazing. All right, so we still have to go to 32. We're not there yet.
Right.
It sound weird, but I don't believe Jesus makes for a good main character of a TV show or movie.
What?
I told you, bro.
What?
This man has lost his ever-loving mind.
What? Jesus doesn't make for a good character of a TV show? What?
Yes, sir. Outrageous.
I got to go back a few seconds there. Hold on.
We wouldn't have to spend too much time in other episodes getting to know him, because he's not the main character of the show. So that may sound weird, but I don't believe Jesus makes for a good main character of a TV show or movie. Now, before you are offended by that statement, good main characters are good protagonists, have an arc, you know, they start in one place spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, whatever it is, and they get to a different place. And I think there's nuance to whether what we believe, and I don't even know if you as in the LDS community have a different belief, but there's nuance as to how much Jesus learned and grew as he got older. We know that the Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature, but for the most part, I think we all agree Jesus was the sinless Son of God and didn't have a whole lot to learn as he was an adult. He didn't make a whole lot of changes. So he doesn't make for a great main character. Plus, he's pretty unrelatable as a main character. Like, you want the audience to be able to identify with him. And yes, we can identify with Jesus' suffering we can identify with the pursuit of holiness, but we're not where Jesus was, and we won't be in this lifetime. So because of that, I didn't want, Jesus was never going to be in the main character. So I didn't want to do a bunch of episodes where we're meeting Jesus and we have to kind of explain him when we can. It makes for some awkward dialogue. I thought it would be so freeing just to have an episode where we spend time with just Jesus. We spend time with him alone. We see him making food. We see him making a fire. We see him praying before bed. But an entire episode of just 30 to 40 minutes of just him completely by himself might not be quite as interesting. So what if I mixed in some of that where, and that's where the idea of this group of children coming across him in a, where he's kind of camping out before he launches his ministry. I thought, oh, this could be interesting. And we could almost kind of get almost like a preview of his ministry, because Jesus specifically said, you know, that he wanted people to have the faith of a child. I do believe that he had a special affinity for children. And I wanted to, I thought there was a way to portray it in a very healthy way and not any kind of way that would be questionable, like Jesus being alone with a child or anything like that. But I thought this group of children coming across him, that's a really interesting way of showing Jesus and learning about Jesus, not through the traditional lens of the Sermon on the Mount, for example.
Yeah.
What if he's just, what if this is part of his interaction with children, and the children are asking questions that any child would ask that doesn't know that they're talking to the Messiah or the Son of God? And I thought they can be the audience in many ways. And it felt like an interesting literary device, cinematic device, of getting to know Jesus and getting to know some of the precursors of his ministry without it being like on-the-nose dialogue where he's teaching it while he's teaching it, if that makes sense. But I just really wanted to spend, I just thought it would really help future episodes.
Yeah.
If we could just kind of spend some time with Jesus in this unique way, and then we wouldn't have to do it through bad dialogue.
Yeah.
In the rest of the episode. Does that answer your question? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. And mission accomplished, I think, there. I think it was great.
Okay, so what say you, my sister?
Well, I reacted just the way you did when I heard this the first time. I mean, what do you mean, Jesus? Is it the main character, and he doesn't make for a good protagonist? I mean, the gospel is Jesus's story. It's about him. It's not about the disciples, even though they played an important part to carry it forward once Jesus went back to heaven. But this is his story. So what do you mean? You know, but getting back again to everything nowadays has to be related to us. We have to identify with it and feel some sort of emotional connection. And he just says that because Jesus is God and he doesn't go through all, he's without sin, so he doesn't. People don't feel they can relate to him because he hasn't wallowed in the muck and the mire and all that is what I'm getting out of what Dallas is saying here. That's what makes him unrelatable.
Yeah.
It's just complete blasphemy.
Yeah, this is, again, he may not interest you, but he... Again, I don't know the woman with the issue of blood. If we were to interview her today and say, who's the main character in your episode, just in yours alone? Is it you? Is it the disciples? Who's the main? She would say Jesus. And then if you were to ask blind Bartimaeus, okay, now in your life episode, in your situation, who's the main character for you? And he would say, well, it was Jesus. And if you went down the line and you asked every person in every chapter in the gospel who's the main character, you know, who's the most interesting person, who's the most impactful person, they would tell you Jesus. So when you take all of those collectively, you know, it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of Mary Magdalene. It's not the gospel of Nicodemus where he's the main character. No, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's amazing. This
and
guy
that is
a blasphemer.
The power of God. And that, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation.
Right. Wow.
But I wanted you to hear that so hear him say this and try to justify it, you know, that Jesus is just, he has no character, or he relates it to storytelling. And but I'm thinking of other things I've seen in the past, movies that talk about Jesus, and they seem to be able to do okay with depicting his character in the way that the scriptures do.
The Jeffrey Fisher movie is called King of Kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not called Demoniac of Demoniacs. It's not about Mary Magdalene. You know. So, it's mind-boggling that this guy would, you know, that those words would come out of his mouth.
I couldn't believe it. And this is a man who says he's a Christian and that he wants to show Jesus to the world. Well, what Jesus is this?
Right.
One that
Absolutely.
Sits over in the corner and lets a woman take the lead?
Yeah. I mean, it's a distortion. You know, here's the thing. When you have... When you have a, again, now we're using this in a religious context, right? When you have a rabbi in your house, think about it, a rabbi, you acquiesce.
You do.
Right? I mean, when we had Thanksgiving and my father-in-law would come over, okay, who do you think we, now that's my role, but I would say to him or to my father, whoever was present, they were never present at the same, but whoever, can you say grace? Dad, could you, you know, you always, you
defer.
Yeah, to your superior, right? And then, Dad, could you cut the turkey? Could you, you know, could you do this, you know? And that's what you do. Here's
the
rabbi.
The Lord, but instead, Jesus deferred to Mary Magdalene.
Right. Which, again, think about Jesus wanting to do the Sermon on the Mount, and then he turns to Peter and says, Peter, why don't you say the sermon? Why don't you preach now, Peter?
Right.
You know, nobody's there for Peter. They want to hear the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount.
That's
you
right.
know, think about it. It's the Lord's day, right? You know, it's the Lord's. John says in Revelation chapter 1, I was in the Spirit on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's day. There's the Lord's day. There's the Lord's prayer. There's the Lord's supper. Think about it. This guy wants to make it Mary's prayer or Mary's supper, Peter's prayer, you know, and John's day. It's crazy.
Yes.
It's crazy. This is, you know, so, wow. This is a keeper, this audio right here, because if you ever want to show people why they should not watch this series, this 3-minute clip is it. You don't need to go into a half-hour argument, presentation. No. Just play these 3 minutes and have him put his foot in his mouth, his foot in his eye, his foot in his ear, because he's putting his foot everywhere.
He sure did. I mean, you can't make this up, you know. I definitely wanted people to hear it, to know that I wasn't misquoting him or anything like that. He said it.
He said it.
Jesus is not the main character.
Wow. 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 And Jesus is the chosen. Right?
Yes.
I mean, he is the chosen.
Right.
This is crazy. This is crazy talk. This is
right.
This is just crazy talk. Wow. Is there any more on this audio here? Is there anything else?
Well, we've listened to a nice chunk of it, but that was
right.
The main part that I wanted to hear for this time. But they go into some other stuff getting toward the end, but not quite as juicy.
Right. Yeah, this is it. This is that. That's it. That's the smoking gun right there. That's the smoking
right.
gun. That's it. You play those 3 minutes and game over. Game over.
Yeah. I don't see how you can argue with when it's the man's own words.
Right. Absolutely. This is, wow. I mean, crazy.
Yeah. So, he talked about episode 3, which is about Jesus loves the children. But before we get to it, the next audio three is I wanted to show this another 3 minute clip because
okay.
It's about teens react to the chosen, and I wanted
okay.
you to hear what these little kids think of this show, and then we'll get started on episode 3.
All right, so where do I start this audio?
From you can play the whole thing from the beginning.
Okay. Oh, so it's a 3 minute clip. Okay, perfect.
Yes.
All right, so here's an impressionable young lady. Let's see what she has to say.
The Chosen is really, really amazing.
Not so shabby.
The Chosen has really changed the way that I see Jesus. I never really thought of him as a very playful kind of, I love kids, let's bring on the babies kind of guy. And after watching The Chosen, it's more like, you know, Jesus loved telling stories to them and pretending to be a lion and chase them around. It's really nice.
Now I see more of his personality and the way he acts towards people. Now I know him a little bit more, and, you know, I could use that, like, in my prayers.
Better to go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father, who sees you in secret.
These episodes have changed my relationship with Jesus because I don't feel like I have to be afraid when I talk to him and that I have to be afraid about what to talk to him about.
Are you dangerous?
Maybe to some, but no, not to you.
I feel like a deeper relationship with God. He is more connected with kids, because at first I didn't think it was more connected with kids. I thought it was more like adults.
Jesus didn't care the age. He just interacted with anybody. For me, it means that if I right now see him in front of me, he would interact with me.
Well, what were you yesterday?
There is a woman who has had much pain in her life, and she was in trouble, so I helped her.
The way I see Jesus differently now was how Mary was depressed, and she had demons inside her, and how he could change her life just by calling her name.
Mary!
You know that he can do anything, and the way that he saved her life could be the same way that he can save mine.
Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name.
I used to think Jesus is just a savior, and he's more than that. Jesus saved her. Jesus forgave her, because instead of him saying, you are a sinner, you involved yourself with demons, he said,
you.
It just changes my mind how he forgave her and saved her.
I was one way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him.
It's completely changed my perspective on what a relationship with Jesus should be. I hadn't seen Jesus like a person. I hadn't pictured him as a real person or any of the characters. So seeing them like in their day-to-day lives
It's just, it's really changed my perspective on each of the characters in the Bible, bringing them to life. It's really amazing. The Chosen is really, really amazing.
Poor thing. It's listen. Yeah, it's easy to con. It's easy to con kids. It's easy.
Yes, but I want to know what in the world are they teaching the kids in church, in Sunday school, Bible study or whatever.
Nothing.
Listen at what they're saying about Jesus. Oh, I thought he was just for adults. I didn't realize he liked kids like that, or I didn't see him that way. What? As a real person, some of them said. And I'm like, well, what do you mean you thought he was just for adults? I mean, don't they teach kids the little songs, you know, Jesus loved me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. And the other one, Jesus loved the little children.
Listen,
and
they get
the script.
They get nothing.
I mean,
they get
what
nothing
do they get?
In church. Nothing. Nothing. And the parents are getting nothing. That's why the
right.
parents are allowing the kids to see this stuff, because the parents are stupid as well.
Because, you know, you hear how they're saying, this changed my view of Jesus, and I think I can relate to him because he's playing. They think that what they're seeing in The Chosen is an accurate depiction of Jesus and his personality and how he interacted, because the Bible isn't enough. And real quick, I wanted to read Mark 10. When they brought the kids to him, just, you know.
Right.
Mark 10:13, starting there. Then they brought the little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. That's Mark 10:13-16, with the Jesus, and it's, you know, you got it in Matthew, Luke,
mm-hmm.
a couple other places
right.
that, where this is talked about as well. So you mean to tell me that little piece right there wouldn't be enough where you could talk to little kids and explain to them how Jesus loves them too, and he's their Savior right now? Not just when you get to be a grown-up, you can believe on him as your Savior right now. You mean there's no way you could explain that to a kid where they could understand it and know who Jesus is?
Yeah, when the child said, you know, I thought he was only into adults. Like you
yeah.
said, what Sunday school did you go to? You know. And, of course, you know, these are, look, they handpicked these kids. They gave them a
yes,
little coaching,
most likely.
You know, and then, yeah, and then, you know, because they're trying to get the whole family to watch this.
Right, and the grown-ups were saying similar things, because we looked at a clip of some grown-ups, too.
Right, right. Now, listen, you can expect this from, like for example, in Little Red Riding Hood, I expect the wolf to con and to get over on Little Red Riding Hood, but I don't expect the wolf
right.
to get over, you know,
on the grandma,
on the mama, on the
mm-hmm.
you know, the guy in the forest with the axe.
Right.
Not on adults. On children, yes, but if the children and the adults are saying the same thing, the adults are stupid. They're just stupid.
Or they're being dumbed down in these churches. I mean, they spend all this time at these in children's churches and at these youth groups, and this is what these kids don't even understand, who Jesus was or that he loves them, even as little kids.
Look, you know, the after the Reformation, where – they would put together these little catechisms for kids. You know, Luther had his mm-hmm. catechism for children. John Calvin wrote his catechism. They were training kids. Little children were loving on Jesus, loving on mm-hmm. him. Back, you know, when they didn't even read. There was no reading, you know, after the Reformation. It took hundreds of years for, you know, for public education to be, you know, part of the mm-hmm. national life of any nation. So it was storytelling time. And those kids had no problem loving Jesus. No problem whatsoever. None. And now we need a film? We need a docuseries to tell us who Jesus is and how we can. And by the way, you know, if parents do a great job telling their kids about Santa Claus and put the cookies out for Santa Claus and put the
and
the hay out
the
for
bunny.
The reindeers. Right, and, you know, and the tooth fairy, parents do a great job on that. And you can't do a better job on Jesus? You can't explain Jesus to your kids? Something's wrong with
you. They let the pastors and the youth groups do it, and you're hearing what the result of that is.
Right. Sad results.
Yes, indeed.
Sad results. Poor little kids. You know, I don't blame the kids.
I'm not getting on the children. It's the grown-ups that are responsible for this.
Right.
And that's who God is going to require an answer from one day, too. The grown-ups.
Because they're the ones pushing this nonsense. Because first of all, you have to explain to a child that what happened to Mary Magdalene in this series isn't even
didn't
in the
happen.
Bible. Didn't even
right.
happen.
Right. God, Jesus didn't, I mean, the Bible doesn't say how he met her or what happened. It just is a brief thing in Luke where he says he cast out seven demons. But it doesn't tell us how or all the details. So that was just what they're seeing is a made-up story.
Made up. Completely made up. Fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's another thing. It's like me putting faith in Kenneth Copeland's Jesus because Kenneth Copeland's Jesus is a fabrication.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's it. It's, or me putting faith in the Mormon Jesus. That's another fabrication. It's a lie. This just happens to be one from the so-called evangelical camp.
Right. But it's not. It's a fabrication.
It's a fabrication.
So then if you want to listen to a few minutes of the episode three, which is Jesus and loves the little children. So this is the episode that Dallas was talking about, and that's audio 4. And you can move it ahead to 12:27 to just go ahead and get started with the actual episode because Dallas just does a lot of yammering at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. He loves to hear himself. He just loves it. Okay.
He does.
Here he is.
Tonight, episode 3 and episode 4. Can't wait for you to see it. Episode 3 is a bit of a special episode. It's a unique episode. It doesn't pick up exactly where episode 2 left off. This is a little bit of a side journey, but I think you're going to love it. This is one of the most talked about episodes of the season continually. And this is the one that where we really get to know Jesus in a way you haven't seen him before, I promise you. So let's get right into it.
How we really get to know Jesus.
Yes. That's how
based
he
on
describes
a lie?
His show.
Based on a lie?
Yes.
And here's the thing. You can't take license with Jesus. You can't do that.
You can when it's a Jesus after your own making. Is he like Batman or Superman?
Right. See, it's like Romans 1 when the people rejected God and they turned God into a four-footed beast and a creeping thing.
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't
exactly.
like the Jesus of the Bible, so he's turning him into whatever he wants to turn him into.
Right. He says Jesus of the Bible is boring and doesn't make for a good character arc.
Wow. My goodness.
Episode 3 of Season 1 of The Chosen during our global live stream week, spectacular Holy Week of The Chosen, countdown to Season 2. So glad you're here. Enjoy Episode 3. Let's go.
Glorify me with yourself.
Yum, yum.
Here's a little girl. She leaves home. She tells her mother where she's going. She's going to the stream. And she arrives on this campsite that Jesus has set up. And Jesus isn't there, so she's, you know, playing with his spoon, and she's playing with his. He's carving out a little boat, a little canoe, you know, and so she's. That's where she is, and
right.
So let's see how Jesus
poking around in his things. One thing
right.
I wanted to mention, before the opening credits came on, you were seeing Jesus praying and doing some stuff. Now, I don't know if this is supposed that was showing Jesus in some kind of turmoil or maybe tempted of the devil at the time, but if that's what he's trying to show here, the Bible doesn't say Jesus had a camp set up when he was out in the wilderness.
No, he just went. The Bible says that he would be with his disciples. They had the camp. And then he would go
mm-hmm.
on his own to a solitary place to pray. But it doesn't say
right.
they had two separate camps. No.
Or that he was camping when he was tempted of the devil. Because in
no.
the beginning, remember, it was looking like Jesus was in turmoil or praying or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's what I was wanting to talking about.
Yeah.
He didn't have a camp set up during that time.
No, and he was fasting. Here, there's a pot
right.
on the thing, you know, so.
There's food around.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Jesus comes into the camp. He spots the little girl, and she hightails it out of there. And now Jesus is here starting a fire.
Okay, yeah.
Joanna just isn't doing better, which will mean she will have to see if they will give her space to sell her headdresses at the market. And even if they do, which doesn't seem likely because last time I was at the market it looked full, she has to find time to make them. But she needs to focus her time on helping him get better so he can return to work before they give his job to someone else. She just seems so scared. Do you think you could stop by tomorrow to see if she needs help with anything? Can you stop tomorrow to see if she needs help with anything?
Joanna?
Hmm?
I have to stay late myself. I don't have time to. I will see.
Thank you. It will mean so much to her. You know how she gets. So, Abigail, how was your day?
It was fine. Can I play with Joshua tomorrow?
Only after you finish your tour.
I know. I will get it all done first.
Don't interrupt.
I'm sorry, but
After second meal, may I go?
I will ask his mother. And where will you go?
In just the field. Maybe the stream.
No swimming.
I know. And chores first.
So what time were you going to go see Joanna tomorrow? I was thinking the evening might be better.
I've never seen before. I don't know what it's for. I think it was building stuff. I don't know. And there was some food too, but even though I was hungry, I didn't take any because that would be wrong. But maybe we could take a little bit this time. What do you think? But I'm glad I didn't, because that's when the man got there. Come on, go faster.
I'm trying, Abby, but your legs are going too fast.
If he comes this time, should we say something to him? I think if you're with me, it's okay. I didn't see a sword or anything like that. So I don't think he'll kill us, and he seemed nice. Do you have a sword, just in case? Oh, we're almost there. Here it is.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives forth bread from this earth. And I pray that if there are ever two children who come visit my home here, that you will give them the courage to say shalom, so that they will know they do not have to remain in hiding.
He's a good man.
Amen.
Stay. We are going to stay.
What's that sound I hear? Sheep don't sound like that. No, that's definitely not sheep. Maybe a rooster? Greetings, children. You know, it is not safe for a child to wander from their home. You never know if there are bad men around. You are wise to bring your friend this time.
Joshua.
Shalom, Joshua. I admire your bravery to come here. You are a good friend. Well, don't worry. I'm not a bad man.
See? I knew it.
You are free to stay for a bit, but I'm afraid I have some work to do.
Okay.
And thank you for not taking any food yesterday.
See? I knew it. So, what are you doing here?
I'm visiting for a time.
Where are you from?
Nazareth.
What is that hood for?
I'm building something.
Are you a carpenter?
Sometimes, but I'm a craftsman. I build all kinds of things.
So, why don't you live in the house?
I travel a lot.
How do you make money?
Happy.
Just asking him how he makes money.
I know, you shouldn't.
It's okay. I don't make money when I travel. So, for now, I build things and trade them for my food and clothing.
What is that?
Ah, this is going to be a lock and key.
Joshua, ask him questions. He's nice.
No, thank you.
What else will you build?
Wealthy people love decorations and toys for their children.
My family isn't wealthy.
Many times that's better.
I don't know about that.
You will.
My mom made me this.
Oh, what's her name?
Sarah.
Very pretty.
Okay, time to go home. Bye.
Yeah, you want to set this up and share with us what transpired
okay.
there?
Well, as you said, the little girl, Abigail, didn't happen to go on his find his little camp the day before, and she was at home with her parents. I know the scene kind of jumped a little bit there. That was who was talking, her mother and father, about
right.
whatever. And so the next day she gets her little friend Joshua, and they go back to Jesus's campsite, and they're looking around, and she's thinking that he seems nice and this and that. And then he does show back up in the camp while they're there, and he's kind of acting silly or clownish in that scene. He knows the children are there, but they're hiding a little bit, and so he starts doing things to get them to laugh and come out of their little hiding spot, to include making farting noises. You know, that kind
right,
of thing,
right.
that in case you heard that, that's what he's
yeah,
doing, trying to get the kids.
I heard that.
Get the kids to laugh. I was like, I just thought that it made the Lord look silly. Maybe I'm being too nitpicky again, and then the other thing, were little kids allowed to just wander off places with their little friends to play? I mean, Jesus did say, it could be dangerous. So I was wondering about that too. What say you, brother?
Right. You see, first of all, Jesus can't just squat anywhere, right?
Okay.
People own land. That's
right.
The first flaw in this thing. He's not a squatter. Number two, he's a rabbi, which means he has a band of followers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Is supposed to be right before he actually called his disciples, because Dallas said that in the audio we were listening to, that this was before Jesus really started his earthly ministry. He's just hanging out.
Right, but it doesn't line up with the word, because as soon as he comes out of the wilderness, right, he starts
mm-hmm.
calling his disciples. So there's no daylight
right.
between from the time he comes out of the wilderness to the time he starts building his team of students.
Right.
There's no
daylight. Bible is pretty succinct that it seemed to follow in quick order when he
right.
after he's baptized, the wilderness, the disciples. And
right.
at least his first few, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, and then, you know, on from there.
Right, right, right. So the other thing that I notice about Jenkins here is that he puts a 21st century pedophile Amber Alert out here.
Yes.
But we know that in the days of Jesus, in the Jewish community,
mm-hmm.
this didn't happen. Right? I mean,
right.
listen, when I was growing up, I don't know if you experienced this when you were growing up, but when I was growing up, I rode my bike day and night, no problems. Day,
right,
dark,
yeah.
night, what? No problem. I would go to the creek and back. I would go to town and on my bicycle, right? There was never,
mm-hmm.
ever. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't evil in the world. I'm just saying there were different days. Everybody left their doors
right.
open. I don't ever remember my father taking the keys out of the car. The keys remained in the car. Now, he
mm-hmm.
got out the car, but the keys remained in the car.
Yeah.
That's just the way it was, right? Windows wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was never any, you know, this is a new phenomenon, this thing about you having to hide your kids and, you know, be, watch out for this, you know, for the,
right.
the pedophile explosion now, where now, you know, they're putting these people living in your neighborhood, and they have to report to everybody if there's a sex offender, right? I mean, that's the new world we live. But when I was growing up, 55 years ago, when I was 5, 6, 7, that didn't exist. I mean, that was not my world. So again, this is he's putting this in a in a 21st century context, I mean, if I see a guy hanging out in the woods, I'm calling the cops. What's this guy? First of all, he's not supposed to be squatting. Number two, you know, is he a fugitive? Is he an escapee?
Right, right.
You know, who is this guy doing here? Right, okay? And my Lord and Savior would not be making those kinds of sounds.
Right.
You know,
he Dallas wants to show his humanness, so I guess he wants to show that Jesus knew about flatulence.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
it's silly.
It's just, you know, this is just childish stuff.
And since Jesus was as a boy, remember the time in the temple where he got separated and Mary and Joseph went looking for him, and he was saying he had this urgency even then to be about his father's business. So why, as a man, he's just hanging out? It doesn't make any sense.
Not only that, he's whittling stuff with a knife so he can go barter so he can get some food. Give me a break. Like you said, he comes out of the wilderness after beating down the devil in the, and now he's making toys so that he can barter that for food. This is absurd.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. It says, as soon as he comes out of the wilderness, it says, he began to preach, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wasn't camped out like a mountain man, you know, eating a squirrel or, you know, roasting a rabbit or, you know, whatever, and then trying to make some money to make ends meet. Those weren't his concerns.
Right.
This is about
his father's business.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, this is sad. This is sad. And we're out of time. This is a great show. Great show. But this is sad. Can't wait for next Wednesday. We stopped it at the 25-minute mark, 25:09. But we'll go back a few minutes.
Okay.
But this is just pathetic. This is just pathetically sad. And listen. This is the one series where I've almost fallen off my chair a number of times, and this last one with Jesus making those sounds. I said,
right.
I said, I can expect that from my grandfather. I can expect that from one of my uncles.
One of my uncles or dad.
Or my brother, or something like that. Yeah, you can expect that from Madea's brother. Right? In the Madea movies, she has a brother who's crude, right? You can expect that from him or Eddie Murphy when you watch The Clumps, right? You can expect that's one of the scenes in The Clumps, right? But Jesus, our Lord and Savior?
Yes.
No,
he's making him look like a clown.
That's it. No, this is This is embarrassing. And he's all excited about this show. He's really excited. This is one of our best, you know, one of our most talked about episodes. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow. Well, my sister, great show, and you have the last word.
Well, as always, thank you for listening. Have a good rest of your day, and know that we love you, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.